You know, one of the things that I have always just found interesting is, and still to this day, is to watch buildings being built. There's something about it. I enjoy watching them come up out of the ground and trying to figure out what it's going to look like, what the finished product is going to be. You see all kinds of you see them coming up and you think, oh yeah, that's going to be that's going to be a bank or something. And it comes up and it's a Pizza Hut. You know, it's just it's really I enjoy just I know some of you are looking at me right now like out a new gate, but I enjoy that. I like watching, seeing how that comes about. We've got two in Kannapolis I've been watching, and I'm going to ask y'all, if you will, pray for my little girl, because it's, she is just, she's finally starting to calm down. If you haven't been through Kannapolis, if you haven't seen what's going on, they bulldozed McDonald's, she has been just, in a fit of, in a state of shock. She's been, I've had her, I've told her everything from a service station to Pizza Hut was coming back, on that corner. And, she finally has a little peace. They finally, hung a sign out there that said they're building a new McDonald's. So, she, and every now and then she wants to go by there and see how far along they've gotten on it. She's like her daddy. She's watching that, building come up. But, I watched that as they built it, as they tore it down, and I'm like, but then they started digging, and I still hadn't figured out, and it worries me. They put these huge pipes in the ground. I'm not sure, what those pipes are for. That just that worries me. And then when they started coming up with the building, I kept looking at it, thinking, there's no door in that joint. Maybe this isn't so bad after all. Finally, it's gotten to a place now where I can see that what they've done is they have just completely turned it around. And now the drive-through and everything's on a different side. And so I'm just watching it come up, and you kind of can see in and see where they're maybe building some walls inside. And that just interests me, what the final product is going to look like. And up the road, they're building a Walgreens, and I've been helping them build it. Watching it and thinking, that's wrong. I've been trying to figure out. I tore up all these trees except one. They got one little tree sitting over there. I'm worried about that tree. And I enjoy that and seeing how it plays out. And once that building's built, to actually see the finished product. But one thing I know about building is it's going to follow, it's going to look like that basic footprint did at the very beginning. When they went in and they dug out that the foundation and they poured the footing in there, that's the way that building is going to look. That's the shape it's going to take. Whatever else they build on top of that, that's what that building will look like. If they put down a rectangular foundation, they're not building a round building. I know that much. And so I've watch that come up, and I enjoy again seeing that. But as I thought about that, the Christian life is a lot that way. It's built on a foundation. It's built on some foundational premises. It's built on some foundational blocks. There are some things that if you get these wrong, then everything else after that, you just can't get straightened out. If you don't get these right, you're not gonna get anything else right. When you start with the wrong foundation, you have no choice then but to go in that direction. And so I want to take a few weeks, and I'm really not 100% sure which direction this is going completely, but a series I'm going to call building blocks. Some of those just foundational things, those blocks that you have to have, that have to be right, or everything else in your relationship with God, everything else in your Christian walk, it's not going to work. You've got to get these right, or everything else is wrong. And sometimes we have to go in and start all over. I don't know. I know some of the folks here in the church know that for the last few years, this we own the property next door. store, but then the one down below it has been for sale. And we'd had some discussion. They'd contacted us about would we be interested in purchasing that property, and we talked about it some with the deacons and some others, and just decided at the time that we just didn't really see any need for it, just be something we had to take care of. This last week I was talking to the man who did buy the house, and we were talking and told him, you know, that we had been interested in it or whatever one time, and we decided against it, and he said, "The Lord smiled on you the day you didn't buy that house." And I said, "Do what?" He said, "I got that thing. It was termite infested." He said, "I basically tore out everything but the roof." He said, "I had to tear out the floors, everything, all the way down to the ground, and rebuild, put in new pillars, new everything, and start over basically from the inside out." And I was like, "Thank you, Lord." Sometimes you just have to go back and say, "You know what?" And some of you this morning, you may be in that territory. I told somebody else that story and said, "Man, wouldn't it probably have been cheaper just to tear it down and start completely over?" And I don't know. Over these next few weeks, some of these foundational truths may challenge where you are. It may challenge some of your critical beliefs. It may challenge your foundation. I want to challenge you this morning that don't take my word for it. Whatever I say, you go on home, you take your Bible, you consult with some other wise people and see if it's true. Maybe you need to go back and look, because I am convinced that if we get these things wrong, then there is no way to build a good, solid Christian life on a bad foundation. And so this morning, I want to go back to the very beginning. I want to start in Genesis and look at basically a very simple account of creation and draw from it three truths that I believe are very, as our forefathers said, self-evident. There are three things that you must get right. If you have a misconception, if you're confused, don't understand these three truths, then you are going to build everything else in your Christian life, in your life in general. You're going to build those things wrong. And it just very simply begins as Genesis opens up, the beginning account, when the Bible says, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." I think in there are some truths that are so foundational that if you get them wrong, then you will misinterpret, misunderstand everything else in your life. That's why in our society today, the issue of evolution and teaching creation is such a huge battleground, and one that it is so important that the church itself just stand dogmatically, "We shall not be moved," standing on the solid rock, decided about this issue, and that is creation as God describes it in the book of Genesis. Because here's what happens. If we allow any mixture to creep in to the account that God has given, then we open ourselves to the opportunity. If you can discredit the opening story of the Bible, then you can, from there, it's a short leap to discredit the remainder of the Bible. If you begin to allow evolution to creep in, then you discount Genesis chapter 1. Well, if God didn't tell us the truth in Genesis chapter 1, well, then maybe He didn't tell us the truth in John chapter 3. Maybe He didn't tell us the truth in Job chapter 2. And so once you discredit the opening chapter of the Bible, you have discredited and opened up the opportunity for everything else in the Word of God. If Genesis chapter 1 is make-believe, is just a made-up story, then perhaps the story about Abraham is made up. And if the story about Abraham is made up, then the story about the Jews is made up. And if the story about the Jews is made up, then the story about Jesus is. See, man, once you start down that road, it's a wide open interstate. And so this is a foundational piece of literature, a foundational piece of scripture in the Christian life and in understanding. And it begins with what I'm going to call a foregone conclusion. When you begin reading Genesis chapter 1, it's interesting the way that it starts out. It simply begins, "In the beginning, God." Now, as you look at that, I don't know about you, but I think sometimes, you know, I'd like a little more information. I would like to know why God did this. I'd like to know a little bit more about what was going on and, you know, all that. But the Bible is very succinct. It's very clear. And it just simply lays it out there. In the beginning, God. You know, there's no debate, there's no question, there's no explanation, there's no debate about this issue. It just simply says, God created. That's what it says. You look at those two words, God created. That's it. That's the gist of the story. God created. It doesn't spend any time telling us how He became God, how long He'll be God, was there any other God? It doesn't do any of that. The author simply gives us a conclusion when he says, in the beginning, God. That's it. There's no debate in there. There's no discussion. God created. Imagine for a moment what would change in our world if we began to build our life on that simple premise. On that simple building block. In the beginning, God. That God created, that God is in charge, that God is the creator, sustainer of the universe. And think about all the things that change. If we begin to look around and say, God created, all of a sudden now, you treat people different because you look at them and you know, it doesn't matter, you know, what Martin says, does, looks like. I have to treat him like a creation of a holy God. Yeah, and all of a sudden things change, and my relationship changed. It doesn't matter. You go into your home, and all of a sudden you look at your spouse, you look at your husband and your wife, and you look at them and say, you know what? I don't like what they did or whatever, but they are a creation of God. We look around us and simply look at creation in general and look around us at what God has created and look at this great world that He has made, the flowers, the trees, the beauty of this universe. And all of a sudden, we don't need the Indian on TV crying and telling us not to pollute. We look at our world and say, God created. It's amazing what happens when we begin to look at our world and say, God created. It just transforms. It's a building block for our life that transforms practically everything. You don't have to worry about cruelty to animals anymore. I'm just throwing stuff out there. It's amazing. Like that. You know, I don't particularly like that animal, but God created. You know, as we look around and begin to filter our world and look at our life through the lens of God created. And what's really beautiful about this verse, it doesn't say one of the gods created. It doesn't say a God created. It just simply makes the statement God. It doesn't even leave wiggle room to say that there's another God, that there's something else to serve. All the folks running around and saying, well, there's many ways to heaven. Not according to Genesis chapter 1. Because in Genesis 1:1, we're introduced to the one and only. You know, I can picture that, you know, at a concert or something, somebody coming out and saying, want to introduce to you the one and the only, God. You know, this verse just eliminates so much of the problem, so much of the confusion that we have in our world. Again, you know, it handles the issue of salvation. It handles the issue of who we're going to serve. It handles, you know, this thing of it doesn't matter who you serve or what you serve, as long as you serve something. Yeah, it does, because according to that, there is but one God. And it's all His. He created it. It's amazing what this one simple block changes in our world. It's amazing what it does to international policy in the government. It's amazing what it does to law enforcement. It's amazing what it does in business. If we go about our life with the mindset, God created, this is God's world, this is God's creation, I'm just passing through, I'm just part of the creation. It's amazing what changes. We begin to think at life, look at life and think about life through the filter of God created. And the author writes this like, oh, didn't you know? You know, didn't you know? You know, God created. You know, He doesn't spend any time explaining it. He just simply lays it out there and He moves on. God, He doesn't debate the existence of God. He doesn't discuss it. He just says, hey, that's a conclusion. It's done. It's a foregone conclusion. God created. That's it. You know, well, what a great thought. You know, and I think that is a fundamental block for us to build our life on. And it affects, again, so many things, even outside of the what you might just narrow down and say, spiritual world. I'll tell you one of the things that, you know, one of my things, and I know some of you here smoke, that's fine. You know, two things. Use the ashtray in your car, and I'm looking down so nobody can say I'm talking to you. Use the ashtray in your car, not the windshield on mine. You know, nothing irritates me any worse than riding down the road and out the window comes a cigarette butt bounces off my windshield. Tommy can tell you this. Jason can tell you this. Cody can probably tell you this. Several other folks, if you've ever rode a motorcycle, one of the things I can tell you, you pull up to an intersection and you look down at the curb. What's laying there? 10,000 cigarette butts. You know, and you know, but listen, I know there's drink cups and everything else. I can't tell you how many times I walk through the front yard of the churchyard and pick up trash that people's thrown in the front yard. When we look at that, just think what that changes. Hey, whoa, man, that's God's creation. I can't throw garbage on God's creation. Think about all the things that that changes in our life. God created. It handles the issue of abortion that we've debated for years. We've walked around and we've debated, you know, is it right, wrong, what circumstances? No, when we take the issue and say, you know what? God created. If there is life, God spoke that life into existence. And so no longer is it unwanted, unnecessary, unplanned. It is a creation. It is a gift of God. You know, we have dealt with the issue. You know, listen, I'm telling you, we're quickly approaching a time, I think, in our nation where we have the same question that we have now about the unborn, that we have about the elderly. What are we going to do with all these folks sitting around in rest homes and not contributing to society? And we're but just a short step from somebody coming up and saying, well, let's get rid of them. Yeah, I believe that if you can do that to an unborn child, then yeah. But all of a sudden, look, God created, and all of a sudden that changes your opinion of the rest homes, doesn't it? Yeah, that changes your opinion of life around you. God created.
Amen.
God created. Foregone conclusion, the author says. But then not only does He give us a foregone conclusion that we can build our life on, our decisions on. But then I think there's something else that He does. Then He goes on and begins to show us this fantastic creation. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Do you see what He started with? You know, He started with about the same thing some of you ladies started with when you started working on your husband. Nothing. You know, and look what you've accomplished. Did you say amen, Diane? Okay, I just checking. He started with nothing, without form and void. And the Bible says He looked around and He said, let there be light, and there was light. He said, let there be a division between the day and the night, and it was. He said, let the waters and the earth separate, and it was. He just simply walked around and said, let it be, and it happened. Now, I realize that there are a lot of people who read that and go, you know, big deal. Let me just see if I can put this speaking stuff into existence, into context for you. Anybody in here ever tried to house train a dog? You ever tried to house train a dog or box train a cat or whatever? Yeah. Okay, some of you saying no. You ever tried to teach a young... I was trying to be nice and you won't let me. You ever tried to teach a youngins anything? How's that speaking stuff into existence work? Carry out the child. No, I won't. Why me? Can't she do it? You know. Okay, and they never do it. How's that speaking stuff into existence working for you? You know, how many of you got employees? How's that speaking stuff into existence working out at Alcar? You know, not too good, right? You know, yeah, he just leave it alone. Better left unsaid. You know, but God just looked at the universe and said, be, B. Boom, there it was. And then when he got done, he looked around and said, you know what, that's not good. I think I'll do a little better. And he reached down and got a handful of dirt and created man. He looked at that and said, you know what, I think I can even do better than that. And reached down and took one of his ribs and made woman. You know, I read somewhere, and I'm sure with inflation it's changed, but the chemical composition of the human body at one point could be bought in the local drugstore for 18 bucks. So before you get an inflated ego of yourself, remember, you can be replaced at Walgreens. Here's my point. Here's the block you can build on from that. Not just that God, in His power, in His wisdom, created such a magnificent, beautiful universe. I mean, I know I look around, and sometimes we look at the news and we read the paper and we just shake our head. But you know, there are other times you look around and you see things that God has created and you're just kind of like, wow. I don't know what they're called. Y'all know my flower expertise. I counted up at the first service. I know what roses look like, dandelions look like, clover looks like, and tulips look like. Daisy. I know daisy. There's another one. You know, somebody else said orchid. I said, I wouldn't know orchid if you hit me with it. I have no idea. I know pine trees and cedar trees. I'm pretty good, you know, like when, you know, I know people who can walk through the garden and go, oh, that's okra, that's corn. I can do the same thing, but it has to be about this tall and have okra hanging on it. Then I know it's okra. You know, I can walk out in the yard and say, oh, that's an apple tree, but it has to have apples hanging on it. Otherwise, it could be a watermelon tree for all I know. I don't know. I just don't know much about flowers and trees and stuff. I just admit that. I've already told my mama, I've been mowing their yard. I said, some of this stuff's got to go. I'm going to mow over it. And told me I couldn't, but they're going to be gone one day when I mow. And some of this stuff's going to go meet Jesus. You know, I just don't know. But I was mowing, and I don't know what these things are. They grow down by the lake, behind the house. And I've seen them before. I don't know. They're like these orange, I don't know what they are. Is that what they are? I can't even say that, let alone know it. But there's three or four of them growing together. And I was mowing yesterday. I just kind of stopped for a second, sat there and looked at them and thought, man, God, you're just showing off that day. You know, you're just showing off when you made those things. You know, God has made a beautiful universe out of nothing. But here's the point I want you to take out of that. I want you to know He made a beautiful universe. But here's what I really want you to know, is that you will face nothing today that is as tough or as hard as making a universe out of nothing. There is nothing that will come my way today that will be as tough as taking a handful of dirt and making the human body. Would you agree with that? If you disagree, tell you what, you go ahead, run outside, get you a couple hands full, and start without us. Okay? You make us two or three people and we'll believe you. There is nothing. You build your life on this block, that there is nothing too big for my God. That there is nothing that will catch my God by surprise today. You know, sometimes we go through life and it happens to us all the time. That phone will ring and it is the most unexpected, devastating message that could possibly be delivered. But it's not too big for my God. Sometimes the doctor walks in and he gives the worst, most unexpected news you could possibly imagine, but it didn't surprise God, and it's not too big for our God. I want you to understand that God created, but what I want you to really draw from that is that if God created and done all of this out of nothing, out of a world that was without form and void, there is nothing in your life today or tomorrow or the next day that will catch God by surprise. There is nothing in your life that has ever left God going, oh no, I don't know what I'm going to do. You know, there is nothing that has ever happened or will happen to you. You know, that has, you may have been sitting around sweating bullets. You may have been wringing your hands scared to death. But there has nothing ever happened in this world ever that has caused God to go, oh! Never has happened. Never has. If God could create a universe, build your life on this thought, that if he can build a universe, surely he can take care of me. A foregone conclusion, a fantastic creation, but the third building block that is the greatest of all. It's a foregone conclusion that God created it. There is but one God. Build your life on that. Hook your horse to that one. It's a fantastic creation that says that if God can do that, then there is nothing else that I can ask for Him that would strain His resources. Here's the third part that's so beautiful that we learn that we need to just balance our life upon this fact. Not only a foregone conclusion and a fantastic creation, but the third thing I see in this story is there is also a fabulous concept. God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Now, I didn't put the whole passage up there, but let me ask you a question. Do you think God said, "Let there be light," because He was scared of the dark? Just wondering. Do you think He said, "Let there be light," because He didn't have anything else to do? Why did God say, "Let there be light"? Why did God say, "Let there be stars in the sky, sun in the sky"? Why did He say, "Let the waters divide, let there be dry earth, and let there be water"? Let there be fresh water and salt water. Why did God say, "Let there be animals, let there be fish and other things in the water"? Why did God say all that? What was His ultimate goal?
Creating man.
Okay, we're warm. Why did He create man?
His pleasure.
For His pleasure. What did He do every day, the Bible says, in the garden?
Fellowship.
He fellowshipped. What a fantastic concept. That God would actually go to all that trouble to take a rock that was without form and void, speak to it, give it light, give it water, give it air, give it animals, give it fish, give it all those other things so that man could inhabit it, so that every day, at any time, he could have communion with that man. What a concept. Let me just ask you, would you have went to all that trouble to have communion and fellowship with you? I got to be honest with you. I like you. I just don't know if I'd have went to all that trouble. Think about it. I was talking to a fellow this week, and I said, "How's your brother doing?" He said, "I don't know, I hadn't seen him in months." I'm like, "Good grief. Now, I don't have a brother. I don't know how all that works, but you know, I would think it's pretty much the same. You pick up and you go, hello." You know, we won't even do that. Think about the concept here that God did all of this. I want you to, for a moment, imagine the most beautiful scene you've ever seen, whether it was the mountains, the ocean, sunset, sunrise. You know that God created that. You know that He created that out of nothing. And you know that He created all of that to remind you. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says the earth declares His handiwork. Creation shows us God. He did all that to have a fellowship, a relationship with you. I've told you before, listen, I know there are times when I don't like me. You know, there are times I don't like you either, so don't feel like you're special. You know, there are times when we get on our... There are times when we say and do things and go, "Man, I can't believe I did that. Can't believe I said that." And we get aggravated with ourselves to think that the God that created heaven and earth, stars, moon, sun, zebras, giraffes, elephants, cows, everything else, said, "You know what? Above it all, I'm going to create man so that I can have fellowship and a relationship with him." Wow. What a concept. See, let's be honest. If most of us were God, I'm not saying we wouldn't have created man, but we'd have probably created him like the dogs and everybody else, just no soul, something we didn't have to really deal with, just to play with every now and then. God created you to have a relationship with you. He's not content you just knowing His name. He's not content just you dropping by His house ever so often. He wants a relationship. That's what, listen, he went to all that trouble, and the Bible says that in the cool of the evening he would come down and he would walk and commune with Adam and Eve. That was his purpose. And here's, let me tell you something. You keep reading that story, and here's the greatest part of that story. You know what happened. As the day went on, as time went on, Eve went out one day, and they'd been told, listen, you can eat off of that tree, that plant. You can eat this, 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 and this. But there's one tree over here that you shouldn't eat off of. Well, you know what they did. You know, I said, they just wasn't going to be content till they went to that tree. They messed everything up. The knowledge, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And you know what God did? See, I'm going to be honest. I've told y'all before, I'd be the lightning bolt God. I know what I would have done. As Eve reached up and picked that fruit off of that tree, when she, I'd have shot it right out of her hand. She reached for another one, I'd have got her the next time. I know me. I know how I would be. But you know what God did? God sat there. Have you ever thought about this? God sat there knowing that as she was taking that fruit and bringing it to her mouth and opening her mouth, He knew that as she bit into that fruit, that His Son that was sitting beside of Him was going to have to be sacrificed on a cross. And He sat there and allowed it to happen. In fact, the Bible says that He came down to that garden and He spoke to that serpent and He said, you know what? You may have won the battle, old boy, but I'm going to win the war. He says, you may have won today, but the fruit of this woman, the seed of this woman, one day you're going to bruise His heel, speaking about the cross. But He said, He's going to crush your head, speaking about the resurrection. God wanted a relationship with you so bad that when Adam and Eve messed it up, He said, I'll send my only Son to fix it up. That's how bad He wants a relationship. Build your life on those three principles. Make your decisions on those three blocks, and you'll be amazed at what changes. I want to ask you to bow your heads this morning. You hear this morning, you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. You don't know Him as your personal Savior. It's been His plan since day one, all the way back to the garden. That's been His plan. That's been His concept. You don't know Him as your Savior. As soon as we start singing on the very first note, I want you to step out and come to this altar and let us show you from God's Word how you can have that kind of relationship, how you can know Christ as your Savior. You hear this morning, you're a Christian. You'd say, I am saved. I know Christ. But you need this morning to be honest about your relationship. You need to be honest about your fellowship with Him and say, it's not where it should be. It's not what it ought to be. And I want to come and kneel at this altar this morning, and I want to just pray, God, restore our fellowship, restore our relationship. God, I want to enjoy my life with You like I one time did. I want to have a deep relationship with You and just fellowship with You. That's my desire.